from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, that song Elton John sings. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. This song's for you. You ever heard that?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Home!
You want to hit it for me, Ken?
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Farhan Zaidi.
Oh, here we go!
Strikes again.
Who did they get?
No, they didn't get anybody. They actually traded Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, wow.
That's per Jeff Passan of ESPN. The Cleveland Guardians are finalizing a deal to acquire right-hander Alex Cobb for the San Francisco Giants.
So, they are guys like me, the romantics, the dreamers, when Cobb gets back. If I had a dollar for every time, Evan, and the dude is, as you just said, it gone. Shout out Kype, man. I mean, wow. Way to go, Farhan. I mean, this is what you call selling, Evan. Do we know what they got back?
It certainly looks like it. Well, my guess is you're not getting much because I also...
$80.
Well, I also can't imagine that the Giants will be sending any money out.
No.
Alex Cobb is also a free agent at the end of this season. He's on the second year of a 2-year, $20 million deal. So his money coming off the book should help the Giants get closer to climbing out of the competitive balance tax, but they still have, I believe, some room to go between now and then 3 o'clock when they would officially finalize it. So, again, they're not completely out of the tax, and they haven't made their team better. So this move is sort of interesting to me because Cobb was expected to come back and be a part of the rotation. Unless they got something, look, Cleveland's got a good farm system. Maybe they were able to get something for him. But if you're Cleveland, I don't know why you would give anything up for a pitcher that has not thrown a single big league pitch this year.
No doubt about it. And
35 years old, coming off of arm surgery.
But it sounded good when they went and got him, Evan. And they were like, maybe after the All-Star break, you know, we saw Ray come back. He's on the bump tonight. But just it feels like another zero. It's not even so much to trade. How can you have any impact, Evan, and not throw one pitch?
But I also think it does indicate confidence in Hayden Birdsong. That might be a bit of a stretch, but I think it indicates a confidence that they want to keep him in the rotation because he's kind of the odd man out. So if Cobb, in a perfect world, like, you know, at the beginning of the year, you're penciling in Ray, Snell, Webb, Hicks, I guess Hicks would have been moved to the bullpen, but Cobb's the fourth guy.
Gotcha.
And then Harrison, so that's five. If you include Hicks, that makes six. If you include Birdsong, that would be the seventh. So I actually, from one standpoint, it does look a little bit like a sell, and they weren't probably going to bring Cobb back at the end of the year anyways, but maybe they were able to move on from a little bit of money, get themselves closer to getting out of the tax, and also provide a runway, again, which aligns with the Soler thing. They're providing a runway, a pathway for Luciano, I think this is also about giving a firm piece of the rotation to Hayden Bergeson.
I like that. And it's still, to me, Evan, is whatever they looked at. We know injuries and science. Nobody knows. But at the end of the day, they thought he would be back up and running by this juncture. And you're right about Birdsong. But what if he didn't even, you know, appear and work his magic like he has? The bottom line is this was a name that I got excited about just from Giant fan standpoint this offseason. And we gave him a pass thinking, okay, he'll heal, he'll be ready. And then we get this to where, Evan, you're right, he didn't throw one ball.
No, he didn't. And the Guardians are sending the Giants a pitching prospect, Jacob Bresnahan, and a player to be named later. My favorite prospect, P.T. Banner.
Damn, there you go.
Yeah, but look, this is...
It's a strikeout if we can't bring Birdsong in, because it's like the Brock Purdy thing. He got a... With the Trey Lance, it's still a mistake, but you benefited from it. But, I mean, the guy wasn't healthy.
Yeah, from the 6-5-0, if they didn't get anything back, the train is off the track, Jack. It's not necessarily about what they got back. I want to know how much money is going out, because it's probably all of it. Because, again, they weren't willing to pay any money for Soler or for Jackson. And per John Heyman yesterday, they indicated they would not be willing to send any money out with Blake Snell if they traded him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think also means that they're not moving any other pitchers. Like, Cobb was... He was a net neutral. Like, he didn't do anything for them this year.
Invisible man.
So they felt like they could clear a little bit of money. And this is from Evan Grant. I think he operates down in Texas. One name I keep hearing about as a prospective fit for the Rangers is Michael Conforto. Expiring contract to be a platoon in Texas. Not sure how you properly value a part-time rental in the market, but $6 million remaining on the contract for Conforto. That's a name they also could get off of, which would make sense to me, because that would move towards providing more of a runway for younger players. And so I think that's where the Giants, I see them that right now, and if they do nothing else between now and 3 o'clock outside of move Soler, move Cobb, perhaps move Conforto, that indicates me they are doing what a lot of people thought they should have done last year, which is leaning into their young guys.
No doubt about it. I understand that. I see your math. I see where you're going. But damn, Evan, it's just like it gets real out there when, you know, you make those transactions or those purchases and you try to get the fan base excited. And again, Cobb didn't do a damn thing. He's gone. But Conforto was the guy that I thought, in regard to everyday player, he would be moved before Soler. So even if that does come to fruition and Conforto's gone, Evan, I'm not going to come in here and say, oh, they sold. That's the type of thing to where, okay, I get the logistics of you feel like you could just give it to the younger players and kind of get the same production because, you know, he's been platooning at best. And he's out of here at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I don't really think the Giants got much back, although perhaps you never know. 19-year-old Jacob Bresnahan.
Oh, 19.
Yeah, he's made 12 starts this year in the minors, last with Lynchburg. That's single A in the Carolina League. So he'll probably go to San Jose, that'd be my guess. But he's a 19-year-old, and yeah, you're not going to hear about him for a few years.
And the scoreboard, and I know we keep going to the wallet, and you're right, Evan. I'm not saying you're saying this, but the bottom line is we talked about the sale or add scoreboard. Right now it's been, I think it's 3-0 sale, if you allow me to, you know, bring that to the, introduce it to the jury.
But again, that's why I just, it feels like a dual move. You know, it's a value move. You're getting off of a guy who you haven't got anything from this year, so you're saving a little bit of money. He wasn't going to be a part of your future anyways. And you recoup this guy who could potentially turn into something, but more importantly, you clear a runway for a valuable piece, ideally, of your future. Yeah. So, once more, this is a move that has me thinking the Giants are looking at 2025.
Wow.
As opposed to 2024. So I'll ask you this, because I'm starting to come around to the idea. You think Farhan feels comfortable?
Way comfortable. Like, he's going to be here and see this thing through. And Evan, it just, you got me thinking, like, why didn't you do or take this approach last year and save all that bread? You know, if you're going to pull the plug that fast on splurging on the guys that we talked about, if now all of a sudden you trust at the deadline putting it in the hand of the youngsters, or maybe you're just putting it in the hand of the youngsters to play this season out the last 54 games. But, you know, I thought the deadline, Evan, was Farhan trying to bring in somebody that could do something right away, either on the heel or with the bat. But now I'm getting told by their actions that, you know, we're just going to move it around to where our young guys get the opportunity.
Yeah, I think it also means, and this is from the 209 in the Xfinity mobile text line, so does this mean Birdsong will stay up as a starter? Yes. Like, I think that's, you didn't get anything back for Alex Cobb except for more starts at the big league level for Hayden Birdsong. And what he's done so far is 6 starts, a 2.97 ERA, 3-0 record. He struck out 11.5 batters per 9 innings, and he's been good. He's actually he's impressed me more than Kyle Harrison.
No doubt about it. I'll give you that. So I guess we could call that an ad then.
But again, it's
addition by subtraction.
Addition by subtraction, okay. Precisely.
This is the definition of it.
Yeah, but that's also a risky move because Birdsong, he looks like a promising rookie. By the end of the year, he'll have enough service time. But I don't know what he's going to be. Like, he's 22 years old.
Can he sustain it?
He also could struggle down the rest of this season.
It happens.
He probably hasn't pitched this much, you know, to this point in his career. The most innings he's ever thrown has been 100 over a full season. So, you know, right now he's at between AAA, I guess AA earlier this year in the majors, he's at 87 2/3 innings. So after a couple more starts, he will be at the threshold. He will have thrown more innings than he ever has in his life. How do I know down the stretch of a postseason push that someone like Birdsong is going to be ready to do battle with the Padres or the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or the Cardinals or the teams in front of you in both your division as well as the wild card standings? So there's risk to that. You might have believed that someone like Alex Cobb is an established veteran who's been in the league and has handled those pressure type situations before would be better suited to help you compete for a postseason berth. But you just moved off of him. So
yeah. Evan, speaking of which, I know he's going to speak today and you're not kind of lightweight, you know, excited. I kind of am, but I think everything's fallen into place now. You asked me, we've heard from everybody, callers, the chat, the text line, how important is it for the Giants, this year's Giants, to make the postseason to save Farhan's job? But again, by these moves, it signals to me, for him, just him personally, Farhan, Evan, it's not do or die by making the postseason. And I kind of hate that, and I hope I'm wrong.
No, I do agree with you.
Man.
And the reason is it's maybe starting to become more clear to me what Farhan is doing and what eggs he's putting in which baskets. And that's this. I don't think Farhan believes this team was or is going to make the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't think your team can make and get into October, well, what's the one way you could save your job? Again, they've tried to spend money. They have tried to get a big free agent. Those things haven't worked. The one thing that Farhan has always hung his hat on, or people have hung his hat on it for him, has been development. Okay, so let's finally see with these guys.
Yeah.
And if Birdsong looks like he's a dude, if Harrison finishes the year strong, if Luciano comes up and gives you good ABs from the DH spot, you already know that Ramos is a player for you. Well, then...
Is that worth another year, Evan? He's got it on the
paper. But if you're ownership, you could convince yourself that this is finally the plan that we had envisioned all along. It just took us a long time to get there.
And you know what?
Fans wouldn't want to hear that.
No doubt. And it may be that same convincing that got him the 2-year deal after he fired his manager. Like, that was kind of crazy. Let me read this tweet to you from Pavs. Barring a surprise over the next 3 hours, Giants will go into the final third of the season with the rotation of Webb, Snell, Ray, Harrison, and Birdsong.
Yep.
It's a very strong group, although, Evan, there's no longer much of a safety net if anyone gets hurt.
I mean, you can move Hicks back in.
Yeah, but I'm worried about scoring runs.
Mason Black?
Yeah.
But, well, no, I mean, they've had trouble scoring runs all season, but to me, it's like you're going to win and lose with your pitching staff, and so... This might not have been the staff that they envisioned because Birdsong, I think, has kind of been expedited due to his own progression. But basically, Cobb was supposed to have Birdsong's spot. Maybe not as the fifth starter, but one of the five.
Yeah.
So you basically just swapped one out and saved money. That's what they did. You basically penny pinched the fifth starter in what was supposed to be a rotation because you found a better, younger, ideally more promising prospect.
Yeah, who's ready and able to throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if Cobb was, remember I was playing with you guys doing the crossover yesterday. Was he coming back? He still may come back, but we'll see, Evan. But now it's not their problem. Here we go. We'll see what goes on, man.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Inverstein with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're talking about the Giants, who have made a couple moves. Again, late last night, they traded Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves for top 20 prospect and basically getting off some money. They also got off some money a few minutes ago by trading Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians for a 19-year-old prospect in single A, and I guess a player to be named later. But they've cleared away now for Marco Luciano, DH, and Hayden Birdsong in the starting rotation.
So that, and I love you for that, E, but doesn't that kind of signal to you're selling because you're not replenishing those spots with, you know, better talent? It's just like the opportunity now for your youngsters. Like you're giving them that, you're empowering the youngsters, go get them. Because we're not going to go spend more or try to swindle another team for somebody better than you two. It's almost like open tryouts. Let's go. And the Giant fans, if you're on the edge of your, you know, on pins and needles, hey, 3.5, it's now 4. Let's go get them. If Birdsong getting more of an opportunity and is a constant, and now Luciano coming out of the middle of nowhere, I don't know if that would do it for me. So I'm kind of torn on that's not what the deadline, and it's not over yet. I know we got a couple hours, Evan, but that's kind of not what I thought Farhan was going to do. I thought he was going to overspend or try to get something here to where we could change the fortune in the next 54 games. But now it's like back to, hey, you not JV, but youngsters, you take it, you got it. We got to save some money, and we tapped out, to, you know, ran some others. Let's see what you got.
It also means they're not getting a big boy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know if anybody believed that they actually would.
I kind of deal with.
Well, yeah. I'd hoped. But all the targets that we've thrown out, they're not getting them.
I got you.
Because that's, at least we have some semblance of a direction. Now, I might not like the direction because it also is a pivot to what this season was supposed to be, which was an all-out push to the postseason and a reliance on veterans. And that's actually probably the biggest takeaway I have from these two trades. Is it's an admission that your veterans are just not good enough.
Wow.
The ones you signed, which is blamed to be placed at Farhan's feet.
Oh, man.
You signed guys that were not good enough, and so you believe that the better alternative is to rely more the last 2 months of the season on younger players. Now, there's still a fusion of both,
yeah,
but they're trying to move their way into a younger, new generation of Giants. That's what I see when I see these two trades.
Interesting. Evan, and let me add this. You may not agree, but let me know. I also feel like Farhan will be here to fly that plane of watching the new youth movement take over. How about that? I really thought he might be gone, but I was right. I think I nailed it. And again, I won't be able to, we won't find out to the end of the season. But Evan, I don't think you make moves like this not knowing you're going to be around to see them develop or see what they do.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that because while Farhan could have his anchor tied to his young guys, at the same time, like if, hypothetically, if you fire Farhan at the end of the season because you don't make the playoffs, Melvin, and you're not happy about it, or you fire Melvin, like it's not like those players go with him. You know, it's not as if Hayden Birdsong goes to wherever Farhan's next stop is. You know, coaches or GM, they don't take their players. This isn't college. He's not Deion Sanders going to Colorado and taking his son and everybody worth his salt. So whoever is going to come in to potentially replace Zaidi, if that indeed happens, is going to have actually a pretty decent base. So it could be a twofold move by the ownership saying, well, we want to let Farhan do this and, you know, see if these young guys are good enough to make a, you know, a postseason push. And if they're not, but they have promise, maybe someone else can come in and take over and grab the baton from Farhan. So there's still a lot of, I don't think Farhan's job is secure by any means.
Wow. But when you think about the division, Evan, the National League West, you had an option to do that a year earlier. I kind of respect it. I'm on record in it. I appreciate what they tried to do, what he did and what he spent when they were just getting turned down left and right. But now if you do, and you are correct, you pivot to it's on the young guys, what message does that send to the fans? And then, Evan, on top of that, how long realistically is it going to be? I know you're not Evan Domas, but how long is it before they actually compete?
Before they compete? Well, ideally, it's next year. I mean, like we talked about this yesterday, earlier this show. It's always about next season. It's always about next season. I don't know when that's going to change.
Wow.
But right now, these moves tell me that it's about 2025. With Farhan or without Farhan. Like, seriously. I mean, because they invested a lot of money in players that have not been able to put them in a position to challenge for the final or for any of the wild card spots. So,
really, I just want to know the balance. Go ahead, Evan.
No, I was just going to say, Alex Cobb was supposed to help you get to the playoffs. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. So where's the balance of we're going all in with the youth movement? You know,
they're not all in, though. That's the thing. They're kind of in. They're in with some players that they believe in, but Yaz is still going to be in right field tonight. Like, Conforto's still going to be in left.
Well, I was thinking more next year. Would you ask me? Like, he shouldn't. And I love what he's done. The Flores of the world, like that. I think that ship, if this is where they're going, that doesn't match. The Estradas, like, you know, we'll see what happens with all of that, but you can't run that. Like, if this is what it is, Evan, you got to go. You got to go all in regard to the youth. Even if it constitutes ales.
Well, you also got to fill out a roster. You know, you can't just clean house and get rid of all these guys. You got to keep some of them. Like, I think Estrada's probably going to be around. I don't think Conforto is, which is why people are talking about potentially selling him or trading him. You know, Yaz, maybe. Mike Yastrzemski, for example, is not a bad player.
No, not.
But among a lot of other mediocre guys, he doesn't help you. You know, for another team, he could be a solid right fielder. I mean, for crying out loud, Jason Hayward's, I think, like 36 or 37 years old. He's playing in the outfield for the Dodgers. Is he a great player, the former Rookie of the Year candidate and Gold Glover that he used to be? No, but he's a serviceable player. Those kind of players will get jobs, but their place is not really on the Giants because it's not what the Giants aren't ready to contend.
Wow, Evan, that man, that's a drink. That's sobering. I'll just tell you, we're talking about boring or, you know, the flair or whatnot. If that's the case, 2025, like if I'm a Giant fan, I'm dreading it.
Next season?
Yeah.
Well, you got to get there first. You still got 54 games starting tonight, 6:35 or 45.
Yeah.
Against the Oakland Athletics. You got to go down and try and win some games. But I think, and maybe we can get onto this more on the other side, I do think there is something about the signal that the front office is sending to this team. So if you're trading Cobb, who is supposed to be a dude, if you trade Soler, who is supposed to be a dude, whether those players have helped you or not, you know, you're trading Luke Jackson, who... it wasn't very good this season, but he's still a veteran. He probably has a voice in the clubhouse. Okay, so how do the rest of the veterans, especially the ones that were brought in to help you this year, how are they looking at the front office? Like,
and Snell's one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Snell would probably still stick around, but it's more monetary. Chapman, perhaps the same reason. But I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys put out feelers this offseason and tried to figure out what they could get.
I know I would if I was in their shoes. And that's why I was mentioning I have no proof morale of how these and the Cobb move. Hey, Evan, I'm not even talking about it, but the Soler one, and they're probably going to play their ass off tonight because they're pros. But I do wonder if, and we know this in sports, making the playoffs to Draymond Green, that doesn't interest him if they're just one and done. But to others, it's everything. I just wonder how the morale in that clubhouse, did it take a hit? Did nobody care? Is it just business as usual? So we'll find out. We won't find out, but I guess I'm just interested to see what playbook Farhan's going to speak from with everything that is his Giant team this year, two games under before they take the field tonight.
And Farhan Zaidi will speak a half hour, after the deadline is officially done, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. That is when the deadline is up. The Giants have made some moves. Are they done? Well, they have about 2.5 hours left to move either in the same direction, which appears to be towards younger players, or to maybe go out and find someone that could help this team as they stand two games below 500, 3.5 games out of the wild card spot. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Gittings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. What is the morale right now from people out there listening, from people out there looking at the Giants? Not just the players in the clubhouse. What is the morale right now? Is it flatlined? Is it down? Is it up? Are you happy that Birdsong is going to get more opportunity? Are you happy that you're going to see Luciano?
Are we hearing any positivity, Evan? We've been together. Like, are we hearing anybody say, I like this direction? I haven't heard one.
If there is positivity out there, I'd like to see it. But also, if you don't feel like, and Carter's given us a bit of a hint in the opposite direction. If you feel that way, too, we're happy to take your call. 888-957-9570. And that's what's coming up on the game presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.